Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All of Romans chapter 12. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for the opportunity to know you and to serve you. What a blessing, what a privilege, what an honor it is to be a part of your family, to be a part of the body of Christ, to have the gifts, anointings, and graces, to be functioning, doing what you've called us to do, functioning as an important part of the body of Christ, getting your work done, building your kingdom. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that more and more we would have a passion to fulfill all the call of God upon each of our lives, to better know what we've been called to do and fully fulfill it for your glory and for the building of your kingdom. Father, more and more, show us your glory in much greater measure through this broadcast and through our lives as we follow you and serve you to the fullest of our ability in the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you've given us. Thank you so much for how you've made us so beautifully, so intricately. And Heavenly Father, I just pray that today you'd give us a little carrot on a stick, that you'd give us something to look forward to, give us something to grow towards, give us something to get excited about, Lord, that we could move away from what's been less productive and less fruitful to loving more as you have loved us. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're blessed and honored to have with us once again for part two of this broadcast on this topic, Brother Jarrett and Sister Sandy Ellis, leaders of the ministry, Here Comes Joy Ministries. Jarrett and Sandy, how are you all this morning?
Good morning, Pastor. We are well.
Excellent. We're so honored to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you back once again. And again, very interesting and powerful what you shared on the broadcast yesterday. And so we're looking forward to your further sharing. But as we begin, if you'll take time to further, once again, introduce yourself to our listeners so they'll know more about you and Here Comes Joy Ministries.
Amen. Happy again. We're just so honored to join you and Isaac and the listeners. We are Here Comes Joy Ministries, a healing and deliverance ministry based in and really rooted in Luke 4:18 and 19, where the Lord Jesus defines his gospel mission to preach the gospel, bring recovery of sight to the blind, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to set captives free, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And we really find so often that we go to the heart. Jesus takes us to the heart to bring restoration and healing and to release abundance, as he promised in John 10:10. So we travel and preach. We hold seminars. We write. We speak. We minister. Live and in person, we connect with the body of Christ, however the Lord leads us.
Amen.
All right. Well, again, we're honored to have you all. And Sandy, did you want to share just a little bit more about yourself as well?
Yes, I am the founder of Here Comes Joy Ministries, an inner healing practitioner, a child of the Most High God. I would say our heart is to see restoration and healing in the body of Christ. It was Jesus' mission statement in Luke 4:18, and that's the mandate that he's put on our ministry. We love him so much, and we want hearts healed so that each person that the Lord has called can walk in their highest calling. So thank you, Pastor Joseph, for having us today.
All right. And once again, if someone wants to get in touch with your ministry or learn more about some of the specifics, tell them again how they can do that.
Yes. You can visit us at herecomesjoy.com. We have a page called Redemptive Gifts, which is the topic we're discussing today, that you can visit. And you can also learn a little bit more about us and our events, where we're going to be in the near future. We'd love to see you.
Okay, so if persons are wanting to come and be in the midst of a conference or workshop that you're doing, then that the list, the itinerary is listed there. Is that right?
It absolutely is, yes.
All righty. Okay, well, I'm going to ask, before we jump into the topic itself, would each of you pray for our listeners that they would really hear and embrace the truths that you're sharing about in that this is a very fascinating topic, a beautiful topic, but at the same time, so practical and so needed in the body of Christ for believers to grasp, learn who they are, and to walk out their anointings, their callings from the Lord. Would you all pray for our listeners in that regard?
Absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, precious Jesus, for the privilege of prayer, for approaching boldly the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need, to come to you and ask you who are all wisdom to freely give us wisdom and understanding. Lord, you said in Psalm 139 that you've made us so intricately, so intentionally, so wonderfully, the very deepest parts of us by your design, all the way out to our fingertips. You leave nothing to chance. You yourself knit us together in our mother's womb with the express purpose of fashioning us to host your presence, fashioning us to be in such deep communion and fellowship with you and bear your image to the world. And Lord, these things are so, so wonderful that we in our own strength, it goes beyond what we can fully comprehend, just how good you are and how much you love us. So we ask now for the spirit of understanding, wisdom, knowledge. We may comprehend through this conversation and deeper study into your word, just the length, width, the depth, the height, just how much you love us, how near you are to us, how fully invested you are in us, how completely in love with us you are, and how much it pleases your heart to draw us ever deeper and deeper in love with you. We thank you, Lord God. And we ask again that today be a day that we sit at your feet, Lord Jesus, and learn something about us that will leave us transformed more into your image, more into your likeness. Strengthen, Lord God, to glorify you.
Amen. Amen. We bless our listeners today. Lord, you know each one. You know what we need. You know where we're at. We ask, Lord, that you would meet us today right where we are, Lord. We thank you. Give us wisdom. Give us the words, Lord, to bless our listeners, God. Jesus, as the disciples walked with you, their hearts burned. We pray today that you would burn this sweet exhortation of our identity into our hearts, God. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our listeners because you have the words of eternal life. We bless our listeners today, Lord, with just an understanding of their identity, that they might run, Lord, this beautiful race that you have placed us in. We bless our listeners in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think you all were going to kind of give us a brief summary before we dive into the next gifts then of yesterday.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So as we were discussing yesterday, there are three gifts that God prepares and manifests in us. And we are, as a church, mostly familiar with the gifts of the fivefold ministry gifts. In Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And we're also familiar with the ministry gifts described in 1 Corinthians 12, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, faith, healing, miracles. And those are very much in the mind of the church and very much recognized and very, very, very fundamental to the way that the Lord equips us to bear his image and build his church and do the work of ministry. There's another set of giftings, though, that we're not as familiar with as the church, and this one goes all the way to the core. This one goes all the way to the foundation, because at bottom, we are designed to bear the image of God. We are made to be image bearers, and we are made to be those who host the presence of God. We reveal God in the earth realm. We reveal who he is. And it is at this level that we find a set of gifts that are really fundamental, and an understanding of those can be transformational. And these are the gifts messages that you pointed listeners to in Romans 12. And they tell us something profound about how God designed us, designed humanity. So these gifts are not talents that we develop or gain over time, or spiritual abilities that we earn or gain over time. They are core design traits that God builds in us, literally, as he is fashioning us together in our mother's womb. They're built into us at conception. And each of these gifts represent specific ways a person perceives the things of God and perceives the world and how it is broken. And these drive and sort of shape how each person feels compelled to restore the world, apply the gospel. It shows points of emphasis, which are all reflective of aspects of God's personality.
All right, Jared, we're coming up on a break one more time, and we're going to jump in here and pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guests today, once again, are Jared and Sandy Ellis of Here Comes Joy Ministries. We'll be right back.
way and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near. Brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm, yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless, yeah. Protects me from my
music from the Walls Group with All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Jarrett and Sandy Ellis of Here Comes Joy Ministries. And Jarrett, turn it back to you to pick up where you left off there.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. So to sum up this before we get right into the different redemptive gift types, is that these giftings aren't personality quirks. They're assignments. They are built into the fabric of our being to express God's own nature. And God's own nature is distributed right through humanity. God is infinite. We are all finite. And so God distributes these beautiful aspects of his personality in each one of us to bring restoration and to really give structure to the way that we apply the gospel to bring restoration where the fall caused damage. And I'll say, you know, the world has its version of this, you know, that's going to be like the Myers-Briggs and the big five personality testings, like the ocean method. Personality is real and it's intentional. This is what the Bible says. And we are believers of the Bible. We go according to God's wisdom.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay.
Amen. Well, we'll start where we left off yesterday in the redemptive gifts. I believe we finished at teacher yesterday, so we are beginning with the exhorter out of Romans 12, verse 6. This is the fourth redemptive gift, so if you missed yesterday, you don't want to listen to this one alone. You want to go back and hear what we had to say yesterday as well. So the gift of the exhorter, this is the encourager. I love describing this one because I am an exhorter. The principles that the exhorter often focuses on is sowing and reaping. The exhorter has the ability to cross every kind of barrier, whether social, racial, economic, religious. They can relate to people everywhere that they are. The exhorter is horizontal in their focus, and intensely people-oriented. They've never met a stranger. They have a big vision for reaching the world, and most world changers in the world and religion history are exhorters. They're capable of having disagreements without alienating others. The exhorter is skilled in creating and sustaining relationships at all costs. So you think of somebody who is the life of the party, that's an exhorter. They're skilled in being around people. They just enjoy it. In fact, the introvert, like my husband is an introvert, so when Jarrett and I go out to a party or we go out to a social function, he tends to be quiet. He'll stick by my side, and I'll be the one who reaches out and talks to people. Once the conversation gets going, Jarrett will jump in, but he's usually not the conversation starter. An exhorter is the conversation starter, and they'll step out without any fear or trepidation whatsoever. The exhorter is extroverted, outgoing, a party looking for someplace to happen. They can be really great at communication. They teach from real-life examples, so they'll paint lots of pictures for you, and they're very practical. They do teamwork well. They're a great networker. The exhorter tends to be flexible and quick to see opportunities. They're willing to abandon their plan and go for a new opportunity quickly, whereas the teacher, who we talked about yesterday, Jarrett, my husband is a teacher, the teacher is taught to validate truth. So they will mull over something. They'll read it, and they will wait and ensure that this is the right thing and this is the right decision. So the exhorter will shift very quickly. And so when those two work together, they have to understand each other and where they're coming from. The exhorter is not intimidated by new ideas. They tend to be a visionary. They tend to see the broader picture and the largest number. They can seem superficial to others due to their lighthearted attitude and their ability to work a crowd. They tend to govern by relationships. So this is an area for the exhorter. If we're not healed and if we're not hearing the voice of the Lord, we can govern by relationships and make poor decisions because we like someone. They can govern by persuasion and the majority opinion of people, not by principle. In fact, Moses was an exhorter in the Bible. Paul was an exhorter in the Bible, kind of to give you an idea. They tend to start things and move on. The exhorter does not like to stay in one place and do the same job over and over and over. They're attuned to the feelings of people and the time frame needed for them to embrace a new idea. They're tactful. They're able to speak. They're able to speak in a gracious way. And now I'll give an example. I'm also a prophet, and the prophet tends to just, they can run over people. We have to be really, really, really careful to be mature, to be loving, to listen, to be humble in our gifts as well. And so the prophet will run over people and hurt their feelings, and they're not worried about hurting their feelings because it's the prophet's job to execute justice. But the exhorter will often come behind and clean up and help people, help heal their heart. But the exhorter will help boost morale in a place. So if you have a pastor who's an exhorter, morale in that church is going to be incredible. Everyone's going to feel good about themselves. You know, there's going to be a lot more unity, et cetera. However, if the pastor has great wisdom of these gifts, he'll have people who have different gifts than himself, so he gets all different types of input. The exhorter can struggle with lack of discipline with time. And, you know, they have good intentions, but they can fall short in the tyranny of the urgent. They see spiritual lessons in personal gain and suffering. They struggle with not being willing to risk offense and alienation or rejection for people. So they can be a people pleaser if they're not healed. They work hard and they're intensely busy. They can function on little sleep, and they're involved in a lot of different projects. Here's some of the weaknesses. Again, with these redemptive gifts, as Jarrett mentioned earlier, the Lord has great intention with them. But with every gift we have, there's often a weakness that comes along with it. If we're not mature, and if we're not healed, we can be people pleasers and unwilling to confront because we're afraid of rejection. We have to be mindful of that. The exhorter can have poor time management. They can tend to take on too much without saying no. The exhorter can be prone to compromise, and they may settle for what's doing good instead of God's best. I'll paint a picture for you. Here's an example of an exhorter. An exhorter, you could take that person and drop them in the middle of any country in the world, in just any demographic of people. They will make friends so quickly, right? I think of, you know, another friend I have. They were sitting at a, you know, bench at Disneyland. And, you know, they sat at the bench and we all went on rides. And this person just said, oh, I'm okay. I'm just going to sit here. No worries. And we thought, okay, no problem. We came back and they had like four friends and they were in the middle of a deep conversation. So that's a picture of the exhorter party waiting to happen. They're wonderful to have on a team. Although with every gift, they do need balance. Mm-hmm. And I'll let Jarrett give us the next one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Yes. Well, giver is next. And givers have generational worldviews. They tend to think through the generations and how to support those who are following after. Very nurturing, create family environments to foster relationships. They have a heart for sharing faith but tend not to do it personally. They tend to empower others. And when I share the biblical example, you really see this come to light. They tend to empower others to do the work of evangelism. So absolutely, they give money. They also give time. And you'll often see givers not on the front lines, but givers that are really providing material and substantive report. You'll find intercessors who are givers because they're giving of their time, giving of themselves in support of the ministry by supporting those who are on the front line of ministries. Very sharp, very shrewd. They resist being con, manipulated, or guilt-tripped into action. Again, because they really look to work across generations. They can relate to a wide range of people. They can also prefer to keep their own lives private. So, you know, again, these are not people who like to be seen or bring a lot of attention to themselves. Not confrontational by nature. They give well and wisely, not impulsively. So they really tend to pray and ponder and seek the Lord before making decisions to give. In the practical world, these are people who tend to find bargains, good deals, discounts before making purchases. You know, we probably tend to see lots of times people with a whole lot of money don't waste a lot of money, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they tend to see money in a broader sense, not just as a way of acquiring things, but also a way of building security. And again, because they think generationally, they tend to live in the present and future. They don't think just about what's happening now, but how this is going to affect what's to come. And tend to find favor in terms of money. Givers are tend to be tithers, and they tend to offer. They follow wise monetary principles, and resources tend to flow to them. Mm. They like to keep all options open as long as possible. They hesitate to accept absolutes in circumstances. Natural networkers, they bring people together and persuade them to do things. Pragmatic, practical. Givers tend to be peacemakers. Can work with people who have conflicting views or theologies. They are involved in a lot of different projects, interests, and activities. Again, they're giving, they're building the kingdom, they're supporting others. And they're good nurturers. Can give birth to projects and people and support their ministries, support new things and new ideas. Sometimes they can struggle with gratitude. Due to their very practical nature, and so again their strengths and weaknesses. Sometimes their motivation doesn't they can struggle with the right motivation because again it's building, it's generational, but all of this has to be grounded in how Holy Spirit leads, and so givers have to keep that in mind as they seek maturity. So, again, a little bit more about weaknesses. The givers tend to be self-sufficient, but that can tend to create an independence that doesn't fully reflect the heart of God because we are a body and we are to truly minister to one another, both giving and receiving ministry. They don't always do a good job of acknowledging when they're in need, and that's something that can be a growth point for givers. And they can, again, because of the stability that they are gifted to bring across generations, they can be risk averse to a fault. And sometimes, you know, there can be a tendency to want to control things based on a fear of the unknown and what's to come. So they, you know, In seeking maturity, giver has to stay grounded in the peace of God, the love of God, and trust, and again, the authority and lordship of God in all that they do. But givers are, you know, again, these are all aspects of God's own heart. These are all aspects of God's own nature, And God is the ultimate giver. And as an example of givers in the Bible, because I know the listeners here are students of the Word, Job was a giver. Also, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, referred to in Luke 8, 2, and 3, are women who use their own resources, money, food, property. They ministered to Jesus. They ministered. They were the first gospel givers that enabled Jesus and the disciples to go all throughout the Galilee and all throughout Israel, proclaiming that the kingdom of the Lord is upon us.
Mm. Amen. Pastor Joseph, would you like to comment?
Well, we're coming up on a break, and so maybe on the other side. But again, very powerful just to listen to the details of each of the gifts. And I can imagine many listeners are kind of thinking to themselves, they see some of themselves in one or more of them. So, but we'll pick up there on the other side. Our phone guests today are Jarrett and Sandy Ellis of Here Comes Joy Ministries as they're sharing about redemptive gifts found in the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music of Brian and Katie Torwalt with He is the Light. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're privileged to have as our guests today Jarrett and Sandy Ellis of Here Comes Joy Ministries. And Jarrett and Sandy, at the beginning of this last segment, would you be sure share with our listeners once again, if they're wanting to learn more about your ministry, where you'll be speaking and how to be in touch with you or learn more about the topics, tell them how to do that.
Yes, they can go to herecomesjoy.com, herecomesjoy.com, and they can find out a little bit more. Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
We've got an itinerary there and also a resource page specifically for the redemptive gifts and many other resources.
All righty then. And we're hoping y'all going to come back to Mississippi again real soon too then. So.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
All right, but you're going to dive in sharing about the last two gifts you wanted to mention today, right?
Yes. Number six out of Romans 12, verse 6, is the ruler. You think of the ruler, Nehemiah was a ruler, to paint a picture. Joseph was a ruler. Notice the Lord gave them both big projects to undertake, and they knew exactly what to do to get those projects completed. The ruler thrives under pressure and puts the people around them under the same pressure. This can be motivational. If it's not a mature gift or the person's not healed, it could be abusive. The ruler is skilled at time management. They control their time and they get the job done. That's that person that you know you have to be on time because they are early and they're going to hold you accountable. The ruler can be loose on ethics when the end justifies the means. They don't ask the why questions. They want to get things done. The ruler pulls together a group based on loyalty to the mission, causes the group to own a problem together. They take ownership and they get it done. They can value loyalty more than competence, per se. So if a ruler is unhealed and isn't using wisdom or mature, the ruler might have everyone they like or who's loyal to them working on a project together, even though they may not be the right person. So they have to really listen to the voice of God there. They can use imperfect people and draw the best out of them without allowing their brokenness to damage the goal of a project or a group. The ruler can take a vision and put together an effective plan. They're an implementer, not a visionary. So they're the one who gets things done. Prophet is a visionary, exhorter is a visionary, but the ruler is the doer. They're not into blaming themselves or others. They want to figure out, how can we fix these things? How can we fix problems when something goes wrong? They're an empire builder. So again, think of Joseph, think of Nehemiah, who had to get that wall done in 52 days. They want to make anything bigger and better. They don't look to others for solutions. They own their own problems. They do not look for help. So if you think of a pastor who's a ruler, the pastor's going to be self-sufficient financially. That church usually will be will not be out looking and asking for funds. They will figure out ways, pray about it, and they will have different streams of income coming into the church. They focus on the immediate task, and they're not easily distracted from that task. They can be task-oriented, though, and they do fall short in nurturing. So if a ruler has wisdom and understands these gifts, because they're task-oriented and they're not nurturers, they would want someone like the mercy heart to come alongside of them and nurture people, or the exhorter to come alongside of them and nurture people, because they're not shepherds. They are often involved in all kinds of projects. They enjoy diversity, and they don't need the affirmation of people when they've made their mind up. They can struggle with doing things in their own strength versus relying on God's power and plan, because they are a strong person. They take on more tasks than is normally possible to complete it in the time that they have. They can struggle with proper focus. You know, are they doing the thing that God called them to do, or are they just doing things to stay busy? The ruler is that person who does not sit down and rest. They are constantly working. They're willing to be vindicated by God, not man, and they can withstand strong opposition. Think of Nehemiah. Some of their weaknesses, though, they can be insensitive if they're not healed and if they're not mature. They are goal-oriented, so they may fail to nurture those around them, as I said. Ethics and integrity, because sometimes when they want to get something done, the end justifies the means. They can struggle with compromise, setting for their own agenda instead of God's agenda to get something done. So a picture of a ruler is Nehemiah, is those, and Joseph. Those are really excellent examples of the ruler. When you have a big project to get done, someone who is a ruler is a perfect choice to help get that project done. And I'm going to turn it over to my husband, because he is a mercy heart, the last gift, mercy.
Okay.
Great is the Lord, and his mercy endures forever. So, again, all of these are, these gifts are, they reveal God's nature, aspects of God's nature, which in God are full and complete. That's just God. So perfectly prophet, perfectly teacher, perfectly ruler, perfectly giver, perfectly mercy, perfectly exhorter, perfectly servant. Let's talk about mercy. We see God's mercy in beautiful display in the Garden of Eden as an example. When Adam and Eve fall, this is the most cataclysmic event, you know, in human history to that time. I mean, reverberates all the way down to today. And where do we find God seeking after his two children and bringing them back? We see mercy, Jesus, the woman by the well, the woman caught in adultery. So the mercy of God is central, and the mercy person, the person with that mercy gift, inhabits that, and see the brokenness of the world through the mercy of God. So what do we see specifically? Well, The mercy heart, the mercy gift, we see a person who carries that redemptive gift is one who gets along with people easily. People tend to like mercies, rarely have enemies, tend to be admired and respected. They tend to be really safe for people who are wounded. They can make everyone feel safe in sharing hurts. People run the mercies when things have gone wrong and they're hurting. to be approached even by complete strangers, and be very, very, very kind in those moments. They take initiative towards wounded ones. They know who's feeling wounded or rejected, and they go and they bring reconciliation. Again, think of Jesus, the woman by the well. She's outcast by everyone, and Jesus is reaching out and bringing her in to fellowship face to face with them. They crave intimacy of soul and physical touch. Mercies tend to be huggers, and they tend to be people who easily share their hearts and easily help others to share their hearts. They tend to hear from God very intuitively, very deeply. Mercies don't always do a great job of explaining the why. They sense the heart of God in a particular moment. And so you'll see mercies oftentimes are musicians, deep worshipers, that expression of the glory and majesty of God without the why. And remember, these gifts are often combined in pairs. So I'm a mercy and teacher. So I do like the why, but I do also experience very deeply the truths of God. They come to me first without the why. So these are all beautiful traits, right? Well, where's the other side? Where do we have to watch immaturity with the mercy? Well, mercies can be people pleasers and can be enablers. Why? Well, mercies go where pain is. They go where suffering is, and they want to relieve it. So they may do whatever is necessary to make people around them happy rather than giving them truth. Sometimes the truth is what's needed. Sometimes correction is what's needed. Mercies are so interested in alleviating pain that they don't always do a good job of confronting. They want to keep people from hurting and protect them from pain. And so an immature mercy doesn't always do the best job of giving truth where it's needed, correction where it's needed. Like the prophet is always going to give you truth and correction. Can have a deep strain of anger, which appears rarely and usually in the context where they are taking up for or protecting someone. So David was a mercy. And you notice how passionately David fought. He was a defender and a protector. Can easily enter into the presence of God. Again, I think I touched on that, predisposition to worship. But the key there is this wonderful tendency to want to bring ministry and to alleviate pain, to connect, to fellowship, has to be balanced with truth. Mercies can struggle with impurity, enabling people, compromising, living with a mixture of holy and unholy, especially in other people's lives, because they're wanting to make everybody happy. So, this is a beautiful, beautiful gift. It has to be balanced. Mercies oftentimes pair with prophets for that reason, and prophets pair with mercies, for balance that the prophets need. I want to think of a good example of mercy. The Apostle John is a wonderful, wonderful example.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, so David and John were both okay then. Okay.
Well, yes, David and John. Yes.
Okay. Well, our time once again is just about completely gone here. One more time, the website, if someone wants to learn more about what you all have been sharing or be in touch or learn of your itinerary.
Yes, they can visit us at herecomesjoy.com. And we'd love you to drop us a note so we can stay in touch with you.
All righty then. Is there a particular email people could use to be in touch? Or it would be on the website, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, they can drop a note in the website, and I'll get it right into my email. So, yes, and we will respond.
All righty then. Well, again, thank you so much, Jarrett and Sandy, for being with us. And, again, we look forward to having you again as we look at other topics that you will deal with as well. So thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph.
All right. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the work and the ministry of Here Comes Joy Ministries and Brother Jared and Sister Sandy, and thank you for the work you've called them to. Father, anoint them in their ministry with a fresh anointing. Bless them in the ministry indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. more and more. Use them for your glory and show them your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you know you've never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, you know you're not sure where you stand, or you know that you're not saved. Today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now and commit your life to Christ and be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I can be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray and live a life of prayer every day. Help me to obey and follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some information and literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch again, joseph@afr.net. And again, please pray much for the ministry of Jared and Sandy Ellis. Here comes Joy Ministries as the Lord uses them to build his kingdom and to minister mightily to the body of Christ. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the hour of intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.